Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
That you control, and 603-283-6160 is the phone number for you to call if you want to get in on the conversation with us. That's 603-283-6160. And with you in the studio tonight, you've got me, Bonnie,
Jay Noon,
and remotely, sorry,
Mark Edge.
So tonight we have several things we want to talk about. We're going to start off with something Mark wants to talk about. And, of course, if you, listener, have something you want to bring up, you feel free to change the subject or tell us what you think about what we're saying. This is from Wired. Wired.com. It says, "Inside Mark Zuckerberg's top secret Hawaii compound." And it's from December 14th of this year. It says, "Meta CEO," which is Facebook, "Mark Zuckerberg is building a sprawling $100 million compound in Hawaii, complete with plans for a huge underground bunker. A Wired investigation reveals the true scale of the project and its impact on the local community." And that sounds a little creepy.
Well, they're always going to say that. I mean, you know, like, oh, my goodness, your property is affecting other people's property and all that stuff. I mean, exactly how is that happening? Poor George Lucas. Not that I like him for much else, but George Lucas had one hell of a time with Skywalker Ranch.
Where was that?
California.
No.
I can't remember. Was it Malibu, maybe?
So I wasn't really saying that that part was creepy. That does scream of, you know, like propaganda, like, oh, it's impacting people. But my thing that I thought was creepy is just the fact that this billionaire wants to have a huge underground bunker.
As I understand it, several billionaires are building bunkers right now. And one wonders what that holds in store for 2024. This is my biggest concern. The reason I bring it to the table is because, I mean, there's a train of thought. It doesn't mean that I think it, but I don't know whether I think it or not, that billionaires get the news before us.
Yeah,
like maybe the stuff that's going to happen, that the plan is that they're going to happen. So I don't know.
I get that idea because just before the show, when Jay was talking about things he might want to talk about on the show tonight, one of the things he brought up was, what's his name?
Warren Buffett. $28.7 billion in stock rings alarm bells over the economy.
Doesn't make sense that he would know something that we don't know.
So here's the thing. When you have, you know, like, we're basically in a financial, you know, death spiral.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, Canada, for example, is, I just heard, is going to be doing, or they're trying to do, a $2,000 per person UBI, universal basic income, for everybody, no matter what.
Monthly?
Yes, per month. So basically what that means, that if the government's giving you $2,000, it's basically going to cost something between like $5,000 to $20,000, you know, for the government to get that $2,000 to each and every citizen, because, you know, that's the efficiency of, you know, the red tape and bureaucracy. And, you know, then the bottom line is to pay taxes, or you have to have a standing army to point guns at everybody to pay taxes, or you have to go bomb other countries to keep your currency, you know, essentially, you know, the leading currency. That's, you know, what the U.S. has been doing. But what it's going to do is it's just going to make everything like $5,000 a month more expensive for everyone that's getting that $2,000 a month up in Canada. So when you have a, you know, so these billionaires all know that the system is in a death spiral. Financially, it can maintain. I mean, you're going to, it's getting to the point to where, you know, food production is, you know, on the corporate, like, you know, tortured animal, you know, Tyson,
yeah.
You know, big Cargill, Monsanto type, you know, food processing industry, the factory farms aren't going to be able to function anymore because they all rely heavily on farm subsidies, and farm subsidies basically only exist because people still have faith in this, you know, U.S. dollar, for example, here. So one of the things I think we're going to see in the States is that the price of food is going to get real. And by real, I mean the subsidies aren't going to work. So you're going to have a whole bunch of people that don't live on farms that are going to get hungry and not able to feed their kids, and their EBT cards aren't going to work, or there won't be food in the grocery stores. And we're already sort of seeing this because, you know, the food that the welfare class is feeding their children basically is all the garbage junk food, like, you know, I talked about last week, with, like, you know, that's all the government subsidized stuff.
Yep.
And then, but when you have people that can't feed their kids, they're going to be, you know, storming the places where they think that there's food. And they're going to be, you know, going to the rich communities and the rich areas. Kind of another reason I like New Hampshire, is, you know, hopefully it's really, really cold when that happens, so they don't get too far.
Yeah.
But also New Hampshire is very heavily armed. You know, most, you know, I know all my neighbors are going to be able to defend themselves.
Yeah, that's something I think about.
I'm pretty sure I'm going to hear lots of gunshots, you know, coming from the north or the south before the mobs get to my house. You know, I'm just... You know, that's not really a good way to play it, but I'm sure that's
fewer
the way
people
it's going to go.
Here, and it's like they'd have to travel long distances. I think about that kind of stuff. I'm in Keene. That's the issue. I actually know that there's a welfare apartment complex that's so nice, just like down from my street, and it makes me wonder why it's so nice.
Because, you know, government contractors probably built it, and, you know, so it probably looks nice, and they want to give it a nice, you know, a nice presentment, but is it actually nice, or is it one of these places that's,
yeah,
like,
inside,
you know, built with the cheapest materials and just looks pretty, like, you know, what most of the modern, you know, UN, United Nations influenced, you know, homeowner association housing projects, you know, are, you know, around, you know, most of the big cities here in America. But these billionaires, they know what's up. They're influencing it. I mean, of course, you know, a guy like Zuckerberg, you know, he's mining so much data. You know, he knows what's going on. Like, for example, you know, Amazon knows when a woman's pregnant before the woman knows when she's pregnant.
Wait, what? Where'd you hear that?
Oh, there's been articles about this where,
Oh, because, like, she starts craving things,
Up. You know, looking through things and the metadata. And don't forget, when you have the Amazon app on your phone, it is mining all the data from everything on your phone. So, whatever video.
Including location.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, like you went to your boyfriend's house or something.
Location, you know. It knows your cycle. It knows what day of your cycle it is. It probably knows.
And lots of women actually just track their cycles on their phone.
Yep. Yeah, just giving all that information right to the beast.
Yeah.
And so it understands. And the fact that it knows your cycle, so it knows, like, when a woman is, like, going to be more agitated, you know, which is going to be, you know, the 10 days before you start your period, progesterone starts being produced.
Yeah, that checks out.
And so, like, women are on edge. They're irritable. You know, and they become worn out. So that you know, algorithm could literally just be creating divorce by aggravating wives, for example. I'm sure it can happen.
Yeah.
And I don't see why it is. And I mean, the algorithm, you know, especially let's say it's a Chinese influence algorithm that wants to, you know, socially destroy America, for example, you know, just
TikTok.
It could have at it. So, but the thing is Amazon just wants to sell you stuff. So, you know, they gather this. But when people can't eat, when people can't get their dopamine hit from the internet device, when they've been programmed and conditioned for a lifetime, some people now, to that's where they get their enjoyment from, it's going to be like way worse, you know, than the crackhead or the heroin addict not being able to get his fix.
Wow, that's such a good point. I was telling Jay this, Mark, but yesterday Lori and I did a show together. And she brought in this story that apparently in the official mental illness, I can't remember what it's called, like DSM books, they now have a new phobia called nomophobia. And it stands for no mobile phone phobia, which is so stupid. Like it's almost like a joke, but they said that 20% of people actually will sweat and freak out if they don't have their phone suddenly. Like I would be really freaking upset because, for one thing, Ian calls me on this number. Like, I'd have to, it would be annoying. It would be like, oh, I have to get somebody who has Ian calling him. You know, okay, I don't need to go through the whole thing. It would be annoying, but I just don't see myself reacting as if, like I said, my grandma has a serious spider phobia. I don't think I would react like that to not having my phone. Do you?
As far as the term phobia goes, I often feel that it is overused. However, it is a long, tried and true path worn where the older generation looks at the things that are different about the younger generation and gets upset. So I would first warn against that. However, I am deeply concerned with young Master Edge's behavior surrounding screens, my son. It seems like I just get finished talking to him, and poof, he's gone. You know, someplace hiding around the corner looking at a screen. And it's not that that's a bad thing. I certainly look at my phone throughout the day. But it feels different when it's your kid and what they're consuming is a bunch of crap.
Hmm.
So, you know, yeah, I know what they're saying.
I've been talking about this a lot. I've, you know, been actually talking with parents of teenagers, boys, actually. It doesn't really seem to be a thing that affects girls. Hmm. Teenage girls just die. I mean, I haven't had any real discussion with any of my friends that have teenage girls that are experiencing this issue, but the teenage boys, like, the only satisfaction they're getting is, you know, from this internet device interaction, whether the thing's online or offline. And, you know, and I say to people, you know, what happens if just the internet doesn't work for some reason, you know, at home? Let's just shut off the unplug your Wi-Fi router. You know, cut the cord to it so you can't, you know, take the thing and destroy it, maybe. So it's going to take you 3 or 4 days to come up with another one.
My friend actually did that. My friend that I told you I hang out with her and her baby, she has a 7-year-old daughter, too, and she just threw the tablet on the ground one day because she was just like, maybe that's not the nicest way to do it, but she was just like, the girl was being so bad, and she was like, it was just like she was a lot better after that.
Yeah, so the girls do recover. Better from a lot of these things, drugs, you know, all kinds of stuff, you know, from what I'm observing. Mark, maybe like the internet just shouldn't work in the house for, I don't know, 36 hours for some reason and see what happens.
Well, he might know how to fix it.
Yeah, well, I think that it takes longer than that. I think that if you're going to do that kind of internet fast thing, it needs to be a 30-day fast to really, because 36 hours is only going to make a kid mad, which is fine. It's just that, I mean, I'm okay. Believe me, I'm okay with making kids mad. But the real issue is that I don't think he'll learn anything from 36 hours. I think he's really got to just be bored for a period of time and then find other things to do.
That's another big thing too, is like, so I had a discussion with, I'm trying to think, one of the homeschool moms that we interact with. I don't remember which one it was, but so actually I've had this discussion with a few people actually. And the discussion is, like these kids being constantly entertained at like a toddler age because they have the device in front of them sort of pretty much most of their waking hours. And what one of the moms had brought up is that boredom is good because creation comes out of boredom.
Yep.
So when you let your kid alone to, you know, just be in his room by himself and they start, you know, playing with their toys. So, like, for Christmas, you know, my kids, like, are really into farm animals. So, like, Cypress got this, like, semi-truck cattle hauler thing, like a bull hauler. And it came with a bunch of cows. And, like, she's like, Daddy, this is the mama cow, and this is the baby cow, and this is the daddy cow. And I'm like, oh, how do you know that one's the daddy cow? She goes, look, it's got nuts. It's a bull.
Jeez.
And I'm like, How do you know this one's the mama cow? Look at its udders. See its udders? That's milk for the baby cow. Like, she's 3 years old and she understands this stuff. But, like, my kids love cows. And I also have a friend who's got a dairy farm. So I've, you know, taken my kids to the dairy farm. Cypress has actually milked a cow, I don't know, half a dozen times now.
Wow, that's kind of, that's pretty impressive for a three-year-old.
Yeah, well, I mean, my buddy who owns a farm,
you know,
yeah, she'll be four in February. But my buddy who owns a farm, she's got, you know, she was, you know, milking the cows on her own at 6 years old, like without, you know, her dad being there. You know, she's my age. She's in her 40s and she has like her kids are like 12 and 13. But she's got some nieces and nephews that are toddlers and they're in the dairy parlor every day, every evening, you know, milking these cows. So it's just like they do it and they love it. But anyways,
You know what it makes me think, though, what you're saying about your daughter's toys and stuff instead of being on a tablet? I have been thinking a lot recently that I think that imagination is something that is kind of a skill you need to develop. Like, when Ian and I are doing a meditation, and it's like, imagine a door in front of you. Ian can't do that, and that is weird to me. But I also think that I could get even better at it. I think that I'm pretty good at visualizing, but I could get even better at it. And I think that imagination is more important than just like, oh, entertaining yourself. But you learn about and how to do it as a kid by entertaining yourself. So I don't know. I just think it's important, and tablets could be like stealing that ability from kids.
Oh, yeah, and it's very diminishing because the internet devices I've noticed are very diminishing to the young kids because I see these, like, you know, 6 and 7 year old kids that, for example, they're TikTok kids, they're device kids, and even younger ones, three year olds, and they have no interest in anything but that device. That device is the only thing they want.
My little brother, he barely eats. Like, he doesn't, like, it sounds so much worse than it is just because he's like me, he's like super tiny. But and I did the same thing when I was a kid. I just only liked to eat two things. But he just, like, I feel like nothing makes him happy except, like, maybe some of his friends and Mario games. And it's really bad.
So with the imagination with kids, so, if, like, for example, you know, my son, one thing that he says daily to me, just whenever, hey, Dad, play with me. I want to play farm. Can we play farm together? And, you know, so I'll go in there and, you know, we'll load up the little fake bales of hay on the tractor and, you know, drive them around.
But that's not playing farm. Aren't you really doing farm?
Oh, yeah,
farm
we do it in
him?
Real life, too. But this is like, you know, it's 7 o'clock at night or, you
so
know.
He works and then wants to play farm?
Oh, yes. Yes. And, well, it ain't work to him. It's, you know, this is all fun. So anyways, but, like, then I'm like, all right, buddy, I got to go do some work. I got to go do some things. And, you know, and I'll walk away, and he'll be in there for a half an hour just, you know, all right, here's hay for the cows. And then he goes, I'm loading them up in a trailer. And and both my kids do this. And they load up the cows in a trailer, and then they're like, they got these little fake bit, those little bales of hay in their toy set. And they put the hay in a trailer, so the cows got some bedding and some feed, because that's what I do, you know, when we load them up in a trailer. And then he's like, okay, now we're driving to the slaughterhouse. And, and yeah, and the moos. And so, and then the other thing that my kids do a lot too is we read them lots of books. So,
and that's really good.
Yeah.
I find it so sad when there are people that just don't like to read, and it's because, well, they were in public school their whole life and their parents never made them read anything like mine did. That's just so sad.
I actually never liked to read until my daughter was born.
Wow.
The first book I read, Cypress, was Adam Kokesh's book, Freedom.
Nice.
And I read it to her like 6 or 7 times, and then I got a Tuttle Twins book from a friend, you know, the whole Tuttle Toddlers. So we started reading the Tuttle Toddler series, which is really great. All those Tuttle Twin books that I have, you know, read to my kids.
Libertarian kids books.
Yeah, they're awesome. In fact, I've been meaning to do an affiliate link with Tuttle Twins. But yeah, it's just really good stories, good morals. They're fun for the kids. But my daughter and my son, almost every day they sit and we got this love seat, like recliner couch thing that's against the south end of our building, and there's a sliding glass door there so the sun comes in. And often throughout the day, they are both just sitting there in the seats, and they got books open, and they are just narrating the books to themselves, both of them.
not being actually able to read it, but just like they remember and they see the pictures. That's nice.
I'm pretty sure they're memorizing the words, although Cypress is definitely reading some words.
Oh, wow.
Like this. You know, this shirt I'm reading, you know, the shirt I'm wearing, you know, it says, you know, above the grid.
Oh, above the grid. I thought it said love the grid.
Above the grid is, you know, it's piratswithoutborders.com is one of Ernie Hancock's websites. That's kind of what, you know, this shirt is a reference to.
And Ernie Hancock's a show host that is on the Free Talk Live Network on Mondays, same time as this show.
But she definitely has been recognizing words, at least, mm-hmm. that are in, like, a totally different context. So she recognizes the word, her name, like mm-hmm. she sees her name written anywhere, and she that says Cypress.
Yeah, that was the first thing I learned to write,
yeah,
too.
And she recognizes her little brother's name. She recognizes, a few other names. The word cow, she recognizes that.
Well, we do, this is a call-in talk show, so I'm going to go to the phones. We have Ricky from the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. Ricky, what's on your mind?
Thank you there, Miss Bonnie. Brother Jay, Brother Mark, good to meet your acquaintance again.
Thank you.
All right. Well, you know, I figure I might as well do something a little on topic for a change. And I will say, as I'm going about to talk about this, I am wearing my battle flag, my very special battle flag, I might add. Now, the funny thing here is...
Mark doesn't know what you're talking about. What is that, Ricky?
Oh, well, Brother Mark... I am running for office again in 2025. And I have
what?
And I have a campaign manager. His name's Ricky Too, spelled R-I-C-K-E-Y, no doubt. And I'm wearing wrapped around me a real battle flag. The one with the grommets on the top. A square 3x3 with a border, professionally made and hand sewn.
It's the flag of the South. What the heck is that called? I can't remember it right now.
Battle flag in North Virginia. This is a real deal. This is a 256-dollar flag.
So just for me to explain it to everybody listening, it's the Southern Cross, but instead of being rectangular, it's square,
it's
and
square.
It has a white border. So, yeah,
yes,
Ricky likes to mention
it. And it also has around the Southern Cross, it has the borders. All of that is hand-sewn with the blue inside, it had to be sewn in. That's why it's so damn expensive. But the reason why I'm pointing that out is, you know, I'm going to first say, now, Nikki Haley, now, she is a waffler on the scale of Herbert Walker Bush wafflers. And but I will tell you, you know, here's how this goes. Now, she had a town hall, and she did say, now, she got criticized because she didn't say that slavery started the Civil War. Well, let me inform the people out there. Slavery was not what started the Civil War.
And that's a really interesting conversation, Ricky, so I don't mind getting into it if you will hold 603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live. More coming up. Hey, Mark, we figured out how to talk to you on the breaks if you have...
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
Do you know someone with a drug or alcohol problem? Get help now. Insurance may cover everything. Stop the drug and alcohol nightmare. Call 800-284-0523. Learn how through the Family Medical Leave Act, you can leave your job without losing your job. Locations everywhere. Get immediate help for drug and alcohol problems. Call now. 800-284-0523. 800-284-0523.
USA News Update. A member of the Israel War Cabinet, former Israeli military chief Benny Gantz, has expressed concern that time is running out for a negotiated resolution to the conflict with Hamas. Gantz also mentioned the possibility of increased military actions against Hezbollah, which has been launching rockets into Israel from the southern border of Lebanon. Mortgage rates have dropped for the ninth consecutive week, coinciding with indications from the Federal Reserve about potential interest rate cuts in the coming year. According to recent data from Freddie Mac, the average 30-year fixed-rate mortgage now stands at 6.61%. Former President Trump refutes allegations that he bullied his way into a role in the 1992 film Home Alone 2. Trump, in a Truth Social post, claims that the film's director pleaded with him to make a cameo appearance. The scene is set in the Plaza Hotel in New York, which Trump owned at the time. John Schaefer, USA News.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few highlights. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I have been using Extendivite for many years. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
That you control, and 603-283-6160 is the phone number for you to call to get in on the conversation with us. Looks like we have a couple callers on the line, but I wanted to tell you that this hour of Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash, digital cash. Dash is the cryptocurrency designed to be used for spending. Rising fees have made Bitcoin useless for purchases, but Dash continues to have fees less than 1% or cent per transaction. And its features ensure Dash is undefeated as the most useful cryptocurrency in the marketplace. From a technical standpoint, Dash transactions are irreversible and its network is protected from 51% attacks by their Chainlocks technology. There's no need to wait for a confirmation before considering a Dash transaction complete, so it's great for merchants. Dash is one of the oldest cryptocurrencies and is widely available on exchanges, including the decentralized Maya protocol and in multi-crypto wallets. It's easy to get and use Dash. Start by learning more at Dash.org. And big thanks to the Dash DAO for sending us 32 Dash per month to promote Dash on the air. Visit Dash.org to learn more about Dash. That's Dash.org. In the studio...
situation. Oops, sorry. Can you hear me?
Yep, you didn't hear me before?
I did. I was just going to tell you about a situation that a friend who runs a business had with doing Bitcoin sales.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
He was doing these Bitcoin sales, and it wasn't big transactions. He was sending all of the transactions to the same wallet, and it got to be pretty sizable. Bitcoin has had a recent run up. I think it's at $43,000, $44,000, somewhere in that range right now. And so he decided to do a little trading in and, you know, maybe get some other cryptos, maybe get some U.S. dollars, whatever. He was deciding to move it. His transaction fee. Now, I think you guys understand how transaction fees, but because there was a bunch of fees work with Bitcoin, but because there were a bunch of smaller transactions going into this one wallet, and then he moved it all at once, his transaction fee was almost $800.
Wait, why does that affect it? I didn't know that that would affect something.
It affects it dramatically.
Wow.
So if you, you know, once you move it, then you can move it again and for, you know, a single transaction fee as opposed to a multiple transaction fee.
Wow.
But either way, it's a big deal.
That makes a lot of sense, actually. I wanted to say that in the studio tonight, you've got me, Bonnie.
Jay Noon.
And Mark Edge.
And we have Ricky on the line. Ricky had brought up the idea that I guess Nikki Haley got asked a question during, I don't know, a debate or something. And she said, well, she didn't comment on whether or not the Civil War was started over slavery. And it's something that, you know, my mom's from Alabama, and she says that that is not the case. It did not start because of slavery. But honestly, I don't really know one way or the other why it started. But one thing I know is that Abraham Lincoln was a terrible racist, and he did not just, like, set... Oh, I'm set out to free the slaves. Like, he even mentioned that if the slaves ever got free, he was going to make them all move to the Bahamas because he didn't want them to suddenly be competing with white people for jobs and stuff. What do you think about that, Ricky?
Well, yeah, I mean, basically, you hit the nail right on the head. Abraham Lincoln was, and you know, the word racist in itself is a misnomer. You know what's funny? Because I believe the only race is the human race. And you know what's funny? Even the dictionary racist, because it says a race believes that their race is superior to another. So by default, it has to be racist. But nonetheless, that being said, the reality is, he was a tyrannical son of a bitch. But here's what Nikki Haley actually said. Now I'll make a comment on the other party involved. Now, she did say, well, her answer was, it was deciding, you know, what kind of government we actually should be and blah, blah, blah. And that's absolutely correct. Now, she didn't comment on slavery and say that that was the reason. Now, the reality is, she's telling the truth. Now, I'm going to say right now, I really have serious dislike for Nikki Haley, because when she was running for governor of South Carolina, now, she embraced that Southern cross. Now, my ancestors are from the rural parts of South Carolina, and here they were split. My family go back to 1650. Now, she was also the one, I might add, that embraced it with the good old boys and girls, but she was also one that took it off the state house down South Carolina. But then you got Uncle Joe. Now, Uncle Joe. Now, Uncle Joe, you know, I tell you, I've been there for you so far, but you've lost Ricky from the Commonwealth. He's like, yeah, it was about slavery, no doubt. Uncle Joe, you just disgraced
Joe
yourself
Biden?
To Ricky from the Commonwealth.
Well,
Joe Biden might not
Ricky,
know.
Yeah, that's what Joe Biden said on Twitter, or at least whoever runs Joe Biden's account on Twitter.
Yeah.
So I think that everyone would agree that the War of Northern Aggression was a complicated war. But to say that it wasn't about slavery is a rather terse answer for, I mean, you know, places that wanted
right,
states' rights for slavery.
He said it started about slavery. Joe said it started about slavery. And that was the question, what started the Civil War?
Well, I would think what started the Civil War was that the South wanted to secede and Abraham Lincoln just couldn't have that. I mean, but that doesn't mean that slavery wasn't involved in the whole idea, like... Maybe.
Right, but that was the problem. See, she answered the question correctly. Then you get Uncle Joe, who disappointed the hell out of him. He's like, yeah, it started over slavery, no doubt. No, Joe, you're lying to the people. You disappoint me. You're disgracing yourself, you know. I have to admit, I'm of the same party of yours, but I'm the Confederate Democrat. You know what? You disappoint the hell out of me.
What I really feel the Civil War was actually about was the Rothschild banking family really wanted to destroy the United States. They wanted to put them in debt so they could rule and control and enslave the population. And if you, you know, you look into John Adams, you know, he says on his tombstone, "I killed the bank and I will root you out like a den of vipers." And
Adams, I think, is Jefferson. That was Jackson.
Oh, sorry. Yes. Andrew Jackson. Yeah. Thank you. Anyways, but, you know, there was this these writings of Ishmael Mayer Rothschild, who was like, you know, very intent on bringing down the states, essentially, you know, the United States of America. And if we look, you know, a lot through history, you'll see that, you know, it was the English bankers who financed both sides of this war. It was the English bankers who did not care who won or lost a war, because they were going to essentially be owed the debt from the war. And the war was purposely, you know, started by the English banking cartel to put the country into, you know, what it has become today. So before the Reconstruction Acts of 1867, basically the country was ran from, you know, grassroots up, from neighborhoods on up. It was, you know, people in homes and neighborhoods, you know, controlled the local government and also controlled the county government and also controlled
the federal
government
wasn't so huge.
And they also controlled the state government. Well, with the Reconstruction Acts of 1867, and a guy who really explains this very, very well is a fellow named John Ainsworth. And I used to attend some of these lectures that he would do when he would come up to, like, New England. He would do them in Rhode Island quite a bit at a country club. And he talks about how the government now, as we run it, is basically run from the federal government down. And you know, it flipped, and that started with the Reconstruction Acts, 1867. Another thing we've got to understand with the Civil War is that the Constitution has literally been, you know, put in a, you know, off to the side, is not in effect. There is, if you anybody wants an internet search, congressional, it's 93rd Congress. The guy's name was McFadden, the senator. And this was 1973, where that particular, you know, congressional session was opened up with this McFadden talking about how the Constitution has not been in effect since March 31st, 1861, I believe, which was executive order number one. And now I know at, like, Clinton, we were at, like, executive order, you know, 2000 and something. I don't even know what executive order we're at right now. But basically, the country has been being run by declarations of war, emergency powers declarations ever since the Civil War. And
I always wonder about these claims, Jay, and it's not to say that there were dramatic changes post-Civil War. There absolutely were. But, I mean, I feel like these guys that are sort of claiming, you know, it's the 14th Amendment and all that stuff, they're trying to construct out of their own mind a legal justification for what occurred, when in fact it was just a D.C. power grab, like, oh, well, you know, we see what happens when we let the states be their own countries, because back then, essentially, everything that wasn't directly mentioned in the Constitution was considered unconstitutional in a state power. Now, it seems like everything is a federal government power, and the states have almost none.
Yeah, I mean, that's clearly what we got going on. Go ahead, Ricky.
Well, I did want to add a little something. Now, it's funny you're talking about the Civil War. Now, I did mention about me running again in 2025, and I did want to say I promised the captain.
Before you go on, Ricky, you're not winning anything in Pennsylvania wearing a rebel flag on you.
Oh, you're wrong, Brother Mark. You've been out of touch too long. Now, let me tell you something. Now, I already have support way better than I had in 17. Now, let me tell you something. Now, that being said, I have support like you wouldn't believe. But I did promise the captain that me and my campaign manager will come to New Hampshire, because I want more than just District 189. And I did, and my main campaign promise is that I will blow away the U.S. Constitution in one term.
So that's the thing. Think of all the Republicans that will freak out about that. Actually,
what is District 189?
Wait a minute. That you can look it up. It got renamed.
I'm looking it up.
Gerrymandering.
The St. Louis School District.
No, it represents a seat for a representative legislative district. Because I want to blow away the U.S. Constitution, Mark. Commonwealth ain't playing. And that's what they're counting on me to do. And I will do it in one term. That's my campaign promise. And
most people love the Constitution.
Well, here's the thing. That's the better part. You see, people here really do not love it. That's where, you know, you're up in New Hampshire. But I will tell you this.
No, I've lived all over the country, and everybody loves the freaking Constitution. And
but not in Pennsylvania. They don't.
I haven't lived in Pennsylvania, but I just don't believe you.
Well, here's the thing. You know, everybody's welcome from all over PA to come to my rallies in 2025. And, of course, you in New Hampshire can come down at my rallies. They're going to be live rock and roll. And you see, at my rallies, it ain't going to be like other people's rallies, like Mr. Trump. You know, there's two things he talks about a lot. He talks about cops. And he talks about guns. You don't see any of them at his rallies. There's going to be lots of them at my rallies. And plus, on top of that,
I think, know, with that accent, Ricky, you need to come out in like a foghorn, leghorn outfit. At my rallies.
At my,
boy.
Brother Mark. Brother Mark, I hear you. But at my rallies, if you want to smoke something at my rallies, you're more than welcome to. Nobody's going to bother you. If you want to dress, you can dress any way you want. If you want to undress, you can undress if you like. As long as you're not hurting anybody. And nobody's going to be bothered by it. You know, and at my rallies, it's going to be very different. And everybody that comes to my rallies gets a free Confederate flag. Not like this one, but the 3x5 Navy one. And I'm going to tell you something else. You see, we will become the Confederate Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. I did say this already. You know, we're going to need it when the vessel, blows it away in the middle of the night. I will donate this to put upon the PA House of Representatives.
Well, I can't really see why we would need a Confederate anything today, like, especially just with the whole, you know, PR around it. Even if you could prove to me that there was actually no bad people there, it doesn't matter, because everybody looking at it is going to be like, oh, that's bad people stuff. Like, I just don't see how you're going to win.
And yeah, it's like flying a swastika.
Yeah.
It just, you know, whether you like it or not.
Even though, like, the swastika did, like, exist all over the world before Nazis, front or forwards, so clockwise and counterclockwise, and it meant good things. It was mostly a positive sign. It doesn't matter now. Like, you'll see it in Nepal all the time, I think it is. Today, but if you had that in the United States and you just tried to tell somebody, it's this beautiful Hindu symbol that talks about blah, 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 well, no one's going to care. I just don't think anyone's going to care. And also just, he started sounding kind of like he's been, like, listening to Nobody, old Nobody episodes and copying his, you know, talking about his running. But even then, he has less of a following than Nobody. Nobody didn't win. Our friend named Nobody. But moving on, we have Dave Ridley on the line. Dave Ridley, what's on your mind?
Yeah, I have some good news.
Okay.
Or to be good news. Good news to some people. The Ridley Report is back on YouTube.
Oh, good.
What made you decide that?
I was just uploading to BitChute and Odyssey. But every 6 months or so, I would check my YouTube account. And if I didn't have any new strikes, I figured I could go ahead and start uploading again. What was happening was they were going back and giving strikes to my old videos. Like, for instance, they took down one for, it was about Afghanistan war, and I used, you know, pictures of a U.S. atrocity. It wasn't particularly gruesome, but they took the video down because the video is accurate, right? So, and every time they do that, they give you a strike,
yeah.
As I understand it. And if you get three strikes, they take down the whole channel. So my strategy starting in 2021 was just to stop uploading and put my head down for a while. And I would check back in every once in a while, see if they were still striking. But finally, I checked into my video, to my channel about a week ago. No new strikes. So I thought, well, okay, finally the coast is clear. I can start uploading here again. I did do that. And the number of hits is a lot lower than it used to be.
That's good. Wrong kind of hits. I thought you meant the YouTube trying to take you down type hits are a lot less than it used to be.
Well, yeah, the number of views is a lot less, but it's still a big improvement over where I was a month ago. So that's one thing that's gotten a little bit better.
Are your videos doing a lot better on YouTube than they were on Odyssey and BitChute?
Yes.
Excellent. That's great. That's great to hear. I'll start trying to share those links.
Are you monetized in any way? Does YouTube send you a check?
No, and I would have long since been demonetized if I had ever been monetized. But I started going through the process, and Google wanted me to fill out all this paperwork and make promises and stuff like that, that I would do this and that. So I just didn't feel like I should do that. But my money has always come directly from, you know, people who, you know, I contact by email and ask them if they want to buy an ad, basically.
Okay. Well, I'd love to see you reporting on stuff in New Hampshire, and I must say I do watch a lot of YouTube. I would like to watch Odyssey, but it doesn't show up on my TV somehow.
Hmm. Well, I listen to Odyssey basically every day because at least it can play in the background, unlike YouTube. I don't have YouTube Red or whatever, but I listened to a Ridley report the other day. He asked some councilman in Keene what he had to say about the raid on my house, and the guy was just like, I didn't have anything to do with that. It was federal. And then he's like, well, what about, do you know how much money it cost? And he was like, I could look, but no. And he was just like really dodging the questions. But that was nice, Dave.
Well, I mean, the local police were there.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Yeah, that was one of the questions I had for the city council. It was like, so what was the budget? Like, how much did it cost King Police, the police department, when they went out and supported the feds on that raid? Because they were pretty heavily involved. And
I'm sure that they would have done it for free. I know they didn't, but they would have. You know, they're that much the fans of Ian.
Well, I tried to interview three, maybe four city councilors, and they all really gave me the same answer. Basically, they had no position regarding the raid. Like, it was happening right down the street from them, and they had no opinion on it whatsoever.
Yeah, but it's the only time they ever deployed their bear cats, and they just don't care. I don't believe that.
Were both those bear cats there? I thought it was Concord.
There was both. No, yeah. Well, okay, maybe they weren't both belonging to Keene. I thought that they had two, but two bear cats were at my house. I thought that was the question you're asking.
Yes, there were.
One of them said he was not familiar with the raid.
Yeah,
I just don't know what happened.
Good old-fashioned politician, plausible deniability. You know, this idea of, oh, I don't know, you know, this, you know, so-called, you know, ignorance to the situation.
Because they can point to someone else, like, well, they were in charge, and that person's like, nope, they were in charge, and they just do that in a circle.
And the way I look at the federal government, you know, the United States Corporation, the FBI, whoever, you know, it is literally like an occupying enemy army here on this soil we call New Hampshire. And, you know, then they're occupying, you know, by way of, you know, the fact that the state of New Hampshire is this incorporation that was incorporated under the, you know, United States Corporation, and now, you know, has a whole bunch of corporate loyalist, you know, subjects, which are, you know, people that claim to be United States citizens on these documents that they fill out, you know, government permission slips. And, you know, if you look all through history, you know, when this melts down, like, you know, like these people need to understand that if you just look through history, you know, what happened to the local traders, you know, once the local traders didn't have, you know, the protection of the invading, you know, force, like when the invading force either like shriveled up and died or couldn't operate anymore. You know, it's just, you know, they're just, these guys are creating bad karma for themselves. And the fact that, and the sad thing is a lot of them are just such cult members and drones. They don't have any ability of critical thought because they've probably spent all of their years being, you know, educated in a public school system and then going to college. And then all of a sudden they're 26 years old, their brain's all done developing, and they've never had a thought of their own. They've never engaged in any critical thinking because, you know, they didn't have to, like, really go to work to pay any bill or anything.
And when they did, it was just, like, number pushing out type things. And I totally believe that about all people who work for the government. Thank you for the call, Dave Ridley. Did you have anything else you wanted to add to that?
Well, with regard to collaborators, you know, it's our job to do what the Estonians did in 1991 when they kicked the Soviet Union completely out, or it may have been more like 1989. They made a point of treating all the Russians on their territory well, even though many of them were pro-Moscow, right? And that is why Estonia has done as well as it has. And it's our job to make sure that if the United States ever leaves New Hampshire, we behave like the Estonians did.
Hmm. That makes a lot of sense. Thank you, Dave, for the call. And anyone who wants to find more, find out his videos, you can go to RidleyReport.com or go to YouTube and type in Ridley Report Now or Odyssey or BitChute. Thank you, Dave.
I just hope all these traitors are shunned. And they're not able to get any food. You know, they're not able to, like, you know, they'll have to actually,
have to
like,
leave.
Well, they'll just have
they'll
to actually
to leave.
Work for it. Yeah, please leave. I'll help you leave.
I do think of Estonia as somehow not as terrible, like, badly off as the other ones. I don't know why, just because there's a pop singer, like, from there. but I don't know the actual truth.
Who's the pop singer?
Her name is Curly. That's how we would say it, but it's really Kelly.
Okay.
And it's awesome. I love her. Anyways, we were talking at the very beginning of the show about a different subject, but that's how Free Talk Live works. We let you guys call in and bring up whatever's on your mind. But at the very beginning of the show, if you two remember, we had an article from Wired.com, and it says, Inside Mark Zuckerberg's Top Secret Hawaii Compound. And Mark Zuckerberg is the CEO of Meta, which is the new name for Facebook, because I guess these billionaires have to keep changing up social media names, and that's a little weird thing. It just occurred to me that that's happening often now, and that's a little weird. But getting to it, it says, off the two-lane highway that winds along the northeast side of the Hawaiian island of Kauai, on a quiet stretch of ranch land between the tourist hubs of Kapa and Hanalei, an enormous secret construction project is underway.
Secret.
Yep. And not anymore, I guess. A six-foot wall blocks the view from a nearby road fronting the project, where cars slow to try to catch a glimpse of what is behind it. Security guards stand watch at an entrance gate and patrol the surrounding beaches on ATVs. Wow. Pickup trucks roll in and out, hauling building material and transporting hundreds of workers. It kind of makes me wonder why, if you're going to choose a place to survive the apocalypse, I don't think I'd choose Hawaii because, well, if they don't have, like, their grids and everything, think of all the dangers that are there, like typhoons. I don't know if that's a thing there.
Well, there's a lot of free chickens running around Kauai.
And it's a small population, someone like Zuckerberg and his team of elitists, whoever, you know, mercenaries that he hires that will remain loyal to him, you know, could just wipe them out. I mean, sounds like a lot of them got wiped out in, you know, that fire event already.
Yeah.
He's probably also thinking that the chances that he needs the bunker are low, so he gets to live in paradise while he waits for whatever that thing is.
I just feel like a place like that could easily become not paradise. 603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live. More coming up. Were you saying you need?
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never not once been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.